Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
One of our texters just pointed out, and I want to get to this, you know, before we talk about this Broncos offseason and just how big it is, that, you know, what if you're a Houston sports fan? You're like a 12-year-old Houston sports fan, and you got posters of James Harden and Deshaun Watson on your wall. I mean, well, like, you talk about a punch to the gut for what's going on with Houston sports fans right now on the heels of the Astros scandal.
Whoa.
That marred the league. James Harden forcing his way out, and now Deshaun Watson potentially doing the same thing.
Yeah, not good. Not good for the Houston area right now.
No, not good. Hopefully, the Broncos are working their way out of the worst stretch of Broncos football in their NFL history. You got to go back to the AFL days to find a comp for this stretch of time that we have been living in. And, you know, I want to know, and pardon me if you guys talked about this on Friday when I was not here, but in terms of the size of importance of this specific offseason, 2020 into 2021, where does it rack up in recent memory? Because you consider the Broncos already made a massive change at the very top of their organization. The age of Elway coming to an end, him taking a step back. It's a brand new general manager. And then you have this decision at the quarterback spot. So you could argue those are, you know, two of the three biggest decisions to make in an organization, with the third being a head coach. But you got this decision at quarterback with a new general manager, a decision with a franchise player in Von Miller, a decision with an all-pro Justin Simmons. Broncos don't have too many of those. And a decision with a hometown favorite in Phillip Lindsay. I mean, am I caught up in the moment with a bit of recency bias, or does this offseason, you know, rank right at the top in recent memory?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it has to be. You look at, you know, post-Super Bowl that year, Peyton's leaving. But, you know, they still had a good nucleus there. There wasn't a ton of change or turnover with that football team. So you look at where we've gone, and now you look at John stepping aside, you got the new general manager and all the stuff that you laid out. I would have to agree it's probably the biggest one since John Elway took over and started working in his role and then end up selecting Von Miller with the number two overall pick and kind of getting away from the Josh McDaniels era there, right? So I would say since then, yes, this is the biggest offseason for the Broncos, and it's important and crucial to get things right so this team doesn't stay in this type of lull and we see another 4 years of losing football, right? So it's important. You got new leadership. You got new eyes. You got new people calling the shots, and there's a lot of tough decisions that need to be made that could change the direction of this franchise one way or the other. And I think where you're at also, you know, makes it even more important because of where the Broncos have been through here the last 4 years.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm with it. I mean, I think it's I think you can go all the way back to, you know, when Elway first took over and the decisions that he had to make and, you know, hiring getting a new coach in here and all those types of things that he had to do and to try to get this organization going back in the right direction.
You know, George Payton was asked about the decisions, the major decisions, and I believe it was Troy Rank who isolated Von Miller and Justin Simmons. And Payton, and we're going to get to some of that audio here shortly, but Payton said, hey, you know, I've only been here for 4 days. I haven't even met with the coaches yet. I can't comment on those decisions. How long do you think into his tenure George Payton is hyper-focused on those major issues that are still pending?
I mean, it has to be here pretty quickly. I mean, those things are, you know, at the forefront of everything that's going to happen with this organization moving forward. So, you know, those are the first questions that need to be answered. So, I don't know. I don't know what his protocol is going to be. I'm sure he's grinding through, you know, all the things that he needs to do to kind of come up with those answers. You don't just, you know, come in the building and have answers for that right away. You got to watch film. You got to talk to coaches. Sure. You got to talk to, you know, different people to gather your information and come up with your answer on how you want to proceed. And so I'm sure some of that will be, hey, just talking to John. Asking John questions and seeing, you know, kind of how he feels about Justin, how he feels about Vaughn, and so gathering information from different people, but not relying on John, just asking him questions. Sure. And trying to get some advice on certain things, but ultimately coming up with your conclusion. But there's a lot of work that goes into it because you're starting from ground zero here.
Right, right. Well, this is John Elway, Stoke, from earlier today. When he was asked, how does your role fit with George Payton's role on decisions like Von Miller and Justin Simmons?
George is going to do his work on both those situations. Obviously, he's got to get acclimated to the new position and the new job, get to know everybody. And there's a lot of different things that are going to go on. And, you know, obviously, Von and Justin are two of the bigger things that, you know, he's going to have to address. And so, like I said, when I moved up, I plan on being a sounding board for him. And any information that I can give him to help him make a better decision, I'm going to do. And so that's kind of my role and a role that I'm looking forward to, especially with knowing everybody in the building and the team. And so to be able to help George and support him in any way I can.
Perfect.
He's in a supportive role at this point.
Yeah, so it's kind of, you know, like just kind of what I was referencing. Hey, John, you know, give me the rundown here. What's Vaughn been doing here the last couple of years? Justin, so you just gather advice, but not ultimately, you know, giving early input, any input on the decision. John won't be doing that. Everybody's admitting that. Everybody's kind of going down that road. I mean, there's going to be something that happens with Vaughn.
Right.
Go figure.
Right.
Try to tell you that. I don't know. What, 6, 7, 8 months ago, even before that? And, you know, upset a lot of people, but that's where this ball is rolling, and certainly John just referenced it right there. There's decisions that have to be made on Vaughn and Justin, but we'll see what they are.
I wonder how much Vaughn's current situation, being criminally investigated, goes, and just the uncertainty of that, like that elephant in the room. I mean, how it's we don't know where this is going to lead. At all. Alleged victim in this scenario did the full-blown recant, which, you know, some folks could have seen coming. And that was on a Friday evening. Hey, this, you know, none of this stuff happened. It's my bad. This thing's my fault. Very carefully worded Instagram post. But this whole situation, how does that play into a football decision that has to be made?
Well, it's certainly part of it. You have to take that into consideration. Where is this going to lead? And so you have to do your homework and your due diligence if you're the Denver Broncos and George Payton. But certainly, yes, it plays a role in it for sure. If not, then that's just foolish for the Broncos' perspective, because you know you don't know what's next, you don't know what's going to happen here, and
right.
So you got to look at this, and you got to do your research on it, and come up with your conclusions. So put it kind of all together, right?
Sure,
with
sure,
his performance,
sure.
What's going on, his age, contract, all of that, and then come up with your decision on how you want to proceed moving forward with Vaughn.
Yeah. Well, it's
I want to get your thoughts. I mean, I haven't even gotten really your thoughts on it, like how you think the Broncos should proceed now, and has it changed your opinion? And any of that stuff, because I gave mine, and my opinion hasn't changed from what I said on Friday. I think it's best for both parties to move on. And I don't care what, you know, anybody, what you recant, this, that. I've got enough clues to kind of say, you know, might be nothing, might be a lot. I don't know. But it's just time for both parties to move on. Thanks, Vaughn. Thanks, Broncos. And I think it's best for both. That's kind of where I stand. But I haven't heard where you stand.
Take a dive into it next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
So a lot was going down on Friday, Stoke, when I was not here and took the day off. And, you know, there was the Von Miller story that was, you know, splashed everywhere, front page ESPN.com and all this. And I hinted to our listeners on Thursday, right near the top of the 2 o'clock hour, that I was hearing whispers that the Von situation extended beyond those disgusting text messages that surfaced, where he was, you know, praying for a miscarriage and saying you're going to get yours and all types of wild stuff that you just, we don't know these guys sometimes like we think we do. And I was hearing those whispers and said that, but I didn't know what was true, what was not true. So I just left it there. And the information that I was able to obtain over the next 24 hours was pretty stunning and did some work. And to be honest, man, and you know this to be true because there's a couple things behind the scenes that I'm not going to say on air, but I chose not to break that story. Okay? And I can't be any more clear on that. I chose not to break. I'm not a newsbreaker. All right, that's just not what I do. I did it one or two times in the past. I hate the way I feel. It's crazy anxiety. It's just, I don't like it. And I had the story. I was the first person to call the Parker Police Department. They did tell me over the phone that I was first, and that's why I was getting the first call back. And made a choice not to break it. Now, I did put out some sort of like a cryptic tweet saying that there was a big story that was right at the surface, that was at a simmer, that was about to become a boil. And you can go back and check the timestamp on that if you want to. But that wasn't the only reason that I didn't want to put that story out there, is because, you know, of the unfortunate, you know, dust up that we had with Vaughn. And I just didn't want the narrative to be in place. I was like out to get Vaughn, because that is just not true. I don't even know Vaughn. And I've always thought, honestly, very, very highly of Vaughn and thought the world of Vaughn. So for all those reasons, I just took a step back and just didn't want to be the one who broke that story. And, you know, Vaughn has not been charged yet. Vaughn is not guilty. He is innocent until proven guilty. But to act like, and I'm being told that, you know, this is a total non-story, stop making it a big thing. Dude, if you think that Von Miller, the franchise player being criminally investigated, is a non-story, then you don't know what a story is. It absolutely is a story. And the folks behind those walls at Dove Valley believe it's a story as well. And it's just unfortunate. Across the board, it's just unfortunate. So that's kind of all I really want to say about it from that the story perspective part of it. Definitely want to talk about the football portion of it, but the whole thing's just unfortunate. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
It is. And you know, we were hanging out after work Thursday, and you were on to this, and you were telling me about it, and I thought you handled it the right way. Certainly, we're in a spot where, you know, we're targeted as the people that don't like Vaughn, that want Vaughn to be, you know, run out of town, and that couldn't be further from the truth. You know, we were so bummed when Vaughn couldn't play this year and got injured. We were looking for a bounce back year from him. But certainly, we're going to call it like we see it, and now with everything going on, and then that news breaks. It is a story. You know, when the face of your franchise, which he is, you know, sends those texts out, which I will always believe those are real and true. I'm not sure what happened with the domestic violence that he's being investigated for. Don't know. But to me, you know, I've seen enough here, and it's just time for the Broncos to in this new era, the George Payton era, to kind of start fresh and start over and end the Von Miller era and let Von go. And you know, hopefully he's got more good years ahead of him. But it's just kind of time to start fresh. That's where I'm at. But I'm interested to see kind of where you are because, you know, you had all that news and then all of a sudden, you know, you don't even show up to work on Friday. So where are you at?
I would be perfectly fine if the Broncos did just move on. You could not create a more seamless crossroads to move on than right now. And it's not just about, you know, the criminal investigation. Who knows how that hands up? You know, we see something like this almost every single year where, you know, a pro athlete is accused of this. Then the alleged victim recants the statement and then refuses to cooperate with the investigation. Then the thing kind of comes to a halt, which I'm almost halfway expecting to happen here. But so you have that, but it's the contract and it's the money and it's the recent non-history of not playing this season and the age and the down 2019. And to what you said, it does feel like a reset button is being hit here in Denver. And the question that I would ask Broncos country is the same one that I've asked myself over the weekend. Do you believe that Von Miller is going to be a major piece of the next great Broncos team? And I think that when you look at this roster, that's a question that we should be asking ourselves with a lot of guys. Do you reasonably believe that Von, this has not been good. And it's gotten worse. It's gone from bad to worse. This is a team that, you know, lost more than twice as many games as they won and has a top 10 pick. And It is in the midst of a rebuild. Is Von going to be a part of the next great Broncos team? And unfortunately for the Broncos, I think that answer is no. Last week you asked me what I thought was best, and I said I believe that it's best for the Broncos to bring him back at a reduced price and like a 3-year deal with a team option for the third year. But at that point, you're getting up into your mid-30s, and unless you're going to have a Reggie White, Bruce Smith type of career in your 30s, and the indicators aren't there that that is going to be the case based on the last two seasons, then I think I'm to the point where I'd be okay. I'm not advocating saying the Broncos need to move on from Von, because if they brought him back under that scenario I laid out last week, you could reasonably discuss that as, you know, hey, this is a good thing that you're going to keep this cornerstone in place, even if he's a lesser version of himself than we saw 4 or 5 years ago. But I Stoke, I'm just to the point where saying, man, the reset button is being hit here. We have to acknowledge where the Broncos are at and the process of trying to get where they're going. And for those reasons, I think I'd be okay of just moving on right now.
Yeah, and it's not about, you know, when you're trying to establish a new culture, a new identity, and get back to winning, but part of that is just kind of looking at the rosters and making tough decisions. And obviously that's going to be one of the toughest that George Payton has to make, but certain things have to be done to kind of try to head back in the right direction. And you know, any money that you save, and you're right, any money that you save on Von Miller could go to possibly a younger player and trying to get this thing back on track a little quicker. So you don't hang on to aging players that are making too much money just because of what they've done in the past. That's not a good way to operate. And fans, a lot of fans don't see that, obviously, because they're tied to their guys, which I understand. But at the same time, you can't operate like that if you're a general manager. You have to look at the best interest for the Denver Broncos, how to win football games, not what a guy did, you know, 5 years ago. That doesn't matter. And so this is going to be a big decision for George Payton, and we'll see, you know, if it's a reduced salary, if it's just a cut, release, if it's, you know, maybe an extension like you were talking about last week. We'll see how it unfolds here. But, you know, the news and everything that's happened here the last, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks, whatever it's been, certainly doesn't help Von's cause.
Right. And I think that's the best way to put it. It's not going to be, I don't believe, some determining factor, like the factor, but it doesn't help. It doesn't help. So,
and what's around the corner? That's the other thing that you got to ask yourself if you're the Denver Broncos. And I guarantee you they're asking themselves is, you know, what else is there? What else, you know, might they get in a fight with? And then all of a sudden, you know, 10 more text messages come out. What are those going to say? Mm. So is there anything else behind, you know, door number four? You got to ask yourself that.
That's a good question.
Because, you know, if you do an agreement with Vaughn and you're moving forward, and then, you know, you don't want anything on, you know, September to pop up.
Right. Well, it's a unfortunate turn of events here, and we'll just have to keep monitoring it to see what is next with Vaughn here. All right, how did John Elway answer the question where he stands on Drew Lock right now, heading into this offseason? We'll play it for you next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
What did we make of how John Elway, team president, football operations, how did he answer the question about Drew Lock earlier today? Where does John Elway stand on Drew Lock as the team's quarterback?
I'm still high on Drew. I think he's got the physical abilities to do it. I think that this year was essentially his rookie year. I think he was put behind the eight ball with everything that went on with COVID, with no offseason, especially with a young, you know, with a young offense, a new offensive coordinator. So I think that, you know, it was not by any means an ideal situation for Drew. But I think that, you know, by any means, you know, I'm going to say that obviously we're going to continue to look at that position. You always are, and look at opportunities that you have. And George will go through that whole process. And then if there's an ability for us to get better in that position, better than we think we have, then I think George will make that decision. But I think there'd be a lot of thought that goes into it. But I think, as I said, you know, I still think that Drew's a young guy. Obviously, he showed flashes this year. He had mistakes. Young quarterbacks, you know, always make mistakes. I made a million mistakes my first 2-3 years. But it's how you can learn from those. And so, you know, those are the things that, you know, George will have to look at. We'll all be looking at. Vic will be looking at. The fact is, trying to find that guy that, you know, can step in and be successful in that position. Doesn't necessarily have to be the franchise guy, but has to be able to allow us and give us a chance to win and be able to make plays to give us a chance to win. So, you know, that's where the quarterback situation is. Obviously, it's a very difficult position to find. But I think that, you know, Drew did a nice job this year, but George will continue to look to fill that spot if we don't think that, you know, Drew's that guy.
There was a lot there, Stope. Yeah. What'd you make of it?
You know, you look at John and his support for Drew. Obviously, everything he said was accurate. Drew's a really young quarterback. The problem is, you know, Drew was a second-round pick. John, obviously, was the number one overall pick. It's a different game now, too. You know, John talking about, you know, he struggled 2-3 years, whatever the case may be. It's a different game now. You just don't have time to sit back and just wait on guys, especially when they're second-round picks. That's just not the way that it works.
Right.
But certainly, you know, everything that John said was facts. And you look at Drew, and he is young. And I think it just – what it boils down to is George Payton and, you know, deciding on does he think there's enough there to say, all right, let's give it another shot. Is there enough there? Was there enough flashes? You know, John mentioned flashes. Was there enough?
Yeah.
And I think if you ask yourself that, you got to come away with a no. Unfortunately, it stinks to say that. It's there wasn't enough flashes there this year to just say, all right, let's go roll this thing back out, because nobody thought it was going to be perfect. We talked about this all offseason. Wasn't expecting it to be perfect. Would have been shocked. Knew it was going to be some ups and downs and a lot of bad football. But, man, needed to see some moments. Like, not one or two or three or four, but you got to see more than that when it's a 16-game season. And I know he missed a couple games, but was there enough just to say, let's roll this guy out there again? I don't think there was, but we'll see what George Payton thinks.
Is it close? Like, you and I'm not disagreeing with you, but I still feel myself, and I'm just being real, you know, like, I still feel myself somewhat torn on Drew, because while I don't disagree with you that we didn't see enough of the flashes, we all know he led the league in interceptions, right? And he missed three games. He didn't play three games. He led the league in interceptions, playing just 13 games. It was dead last in completion percentage. I got it.
He was 35 out of 35 in one category, too, I see it on Twitter. I don't know if Troy ranked tweeted
something. That's completion percentage.
Yeah, 35 out of 35. I mean, that's, wow.
Yeah. And no,
really bad.
It's the worst it can get, right?
That's it.
I mean, it's literally the worst it can get in completion percentage, and that speaks to the accuracy with the football. Kind of important as a quarterback. But I still, despite that, on the heels of me admitting that and also not disagreeing with you that we didn't see enough for him to be the plan, I still feel like that call is a kind of a close one. Is that unfair? Am I being too optimistic with Drew?
I think so. I think you are. Look, I would want to say that too. I would want to do exactly what we did last offseason. We were so optimistic about Drew Lock and feeling great about, you know, the prospects of him being that quarterback for the next, you know, 7, 8, 10 years.
Yeah.
I just don't think we can go down that road again. I just don't think there was enough there to just go down that road again. I think you're just being too, I don't know the word for it. Just
naive,
too optimistic. Yeah, too naive, whatever the case may be. It just wasn't good enough. And how is it going to flip from being one of the worst and in some categories, the worst to being a competent guy in a year? He had a lot working against him, so you can tell me all those things, and I get it.
And John did. He went through it. He said, this is his rookie year. He had no offseason. It's a young offense. I made a million mistakes in year two and year three.
Yeah. So they're there, certainly. But I just don't think, you know, given pretty much a year of football, that it just I didn't see enough to say, okay, our second round. Now, if he's the number one overall pick in the draft, yeah, it's year three for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's just the way NFL football works. A lot has to do with where you're drafted. That decides how many opportunities you get. And how many lifelines do you get?
And by the way, now more than ever, you're seeing NFL teams not even abide to that. Like the Dolphins, it's being, you know, rumored that they could move on from Tua. The Cardinals moved on from Josh Rosen after a year. The Broncos moved on from Paxton Lynch after he played four games for them.
Yep.
So it's the leash is not what it once was.
Great point. No, it's not. Certainly isn't. So you know, to look at your second round pick, did he show you enough? Did he show you enough to just say, all right, let's roll this thing out for another year?
No. You can go into it and say it should be Lock, but I think it takes one or two doses extra of hope and optimism to go there.
And you gotta, I think, for me, you just gotta add to the room. You gotta add to the room.
Sure.
Look, he might bounce back and you know, be the starter game one and play the whole year and have a really solid year. That would be great. But I just think that you're gonna have to add to this group, and whether it's a drafted quarterback or a free agent guy, you just can't put all your eggs in that basket after what you saw last year and then take the chance and take the risk. And I guarantee you, Vic doesn't want that to happen.
Okay, good,
I mean, Vic's butt's
point.
On the line.
Good point.
You know, he probably wants a veteran guy. I mean, best case for him would probably be, you know, trade for Deshaun Watson or trade for Matt Stafford or something like that, or get a veteran quarterback in here that, you know, because he needs to win, and he needs to win now.
It's a great point, Stoke.
And so how does that dynamic work between those two right away?
I want to return to that question because that's a really good one that we haven't talked about enough here on this show. But also, the new general manager, George Payton, spoke today. John Elway spoke today. Vic Fangio spoke today. What should be the biggest takeaway? I want to bounce that question off Troy Rank next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Our good buddy is Troy Rank, Denver 7 insider. Troy, first of all, thanks for your time today. Good job in the press conference. I thought you asked a good question. I believe it was about Justin Simmons and Von Miller. And he said he's not to the point, George Payton, new Broncos general manager, he's not to the point where, you know, he's ready to talk about those big-time impactful decisions. He's only been here for 4 days. But when you stack up what John said, what Vic said, what George Payton said, what was your biggest takeaway today?
I mean, I would say that they're open-minded at quarterback and that George Payton has won in different ways. There are six different quarterbacks for six playoff berths with the Vikings, but they're open-minded, and they're going to allow Payton to look at Drew Lock's film. The most likely path is they bring in veteran competition. That's the most, that's, I don't want to say logical, but the easiest path is to just go get a veteran to protect yourself for injury and ineffectiveness for Drew. The bigger path would be, again, if they take a big swing at Deshaun Watson, Matthew Stafford, Matt Ryan. I wouldn't go for Stafford personally, but, you know, Matt Ryan, Deshaun Watson, I doubt with a new coach in Atlanta that he's going to want to move on from Ryan. But you have to at least monitor the Deshaun Watson. So my biggest takeaways are this guy, you know, reminds me of a baseball GM that you got to draft and develop. And when you draft and develop, you get good young players. And when you have a lot of good young players, it allows you to move around in the draft because you have positions filled already. You're not always so desperate. I got to use every pick because we don't have very good players. So I like his philosophy. And I'm interested to see how he executes it. And I like the fact that John Elway said repeatedly, these final decisions are George Payton.
Right.
And that's how it has to be. We've talked about that. And I actually do believe that, that John Elway told me that he's going to be a sounding board. And I know people roll their eyes at that, but I actually do believe that, that if George Payton comes to him and says, I want to move on from this player, I think they're going to listen to him because they haven't been to the playoffs in 5 years. If you're not going to listen to it, the outside voice, the new guy, why did you bring him in?
Yeah. And Troy, that was going to be my question, what you thought about that with John Elway speaking on it, how he was going to be involved with the decisions moving forward. We got clarity on that, I thought. I like the answer, and I do. I believe it. I think John's done. I think he's just kind of tapped out. If George Payton wants to ask him about certain guys on the roster or how he views certain things, he'll answer. But other than that, I think John kind of is, you know, 1 foot out there in retirement and wants to be on the golf course and enjoy himself a little bit more. He moved himself out of the office, you know, and George Payton's taking over that office now. So I'm with you, Troy. I'm with you. I think it's going to be no issue at all with John still being president of football operations.
Yeah, I agree with what you said, that at his age, at 60, with seven grandkids, wanting a different lifestyle, I really do believe that this is not something he's going to be meddling and looking over Peyton's shoulder. He's just going to be there because he frankly has a year left on his contract, honestly. And I think after this season's done, he'll fade and he'll always be connected to the Broncos. But this is the logical path for George Payton to come in, start adding some of his guys in the front office and start making the tough decisions. And it's as if I would say, you know, Elway's passed the baton to him. And he said, again, probably three times today that these are George's final decisions. And I do believe that. And again, this is how it has to be for the Broncos if they're going to change and rebound.
Yeah, Troy, one more real quick for me here. Vic Fangio, did he say anything that caught your attention?
Well, he was asked by my friend Mark Kisla, asked him, are you worried about your own job?
Right.
And when he evaluates the film. And I mean, it is the truth. And Vic, I give credit to Vic for an honest answer. And he said, this is the NFL. This is what happens when you lose. Again, they're 12-20, and Vic hasn't been over 500 for one day as a head coach. So, I mean, I like the fact that he understands the reality of it. Vic knows he has to improve.
Yeah.
So, and then he did tell me, because I asked him about the quarterback position, and he said with Payton that he wants Payton to get a sterile look at it. Just go look at the film, unbiased, without input from Shermer, without input from Vic, and then come back to him and say, here's what I see. I think that's brilliant, rather than everyone on the staff telling you their opinion of the guy, and then you watch the film. Watch the film free of that, you know, bias, and then make a decision. And I think they're going to say, hey, Drew's talented. He's just too, right now, he's too inconsistent to win in the NFL. Can he get better? Yes, he can. But they have to decide, can he get significantly better so they play meaningful games in December? And that's the decision George Payton and the scouts, they have to make from watching the film.
Troy Rank, our good buddy here, presented by Rox Heating and Air. That's Rox Heating and Air. Troy, Stokely and I were discussing, you know, what this first year could look like for the new Broncos general manager, George Payton. And there's two schools of thought. And it's not exclusive to being a general manager in the NFL, you know, maybe being a boss at Denver 7 or a new program director. A lot of times guys just come in and just do a lot of observing, watch, listen, see what the temperature is, see what the culture is, and then go from there. But also, he's at the control, so he could come in and, you know, trade up to the third pick. Do you think that one mode is more likely than another with George Payton here in this year number one?
You know, in talking to Sage Rosenfels about him and one of his college teammates, Sean Howard, Sam Farmer from the LA Times, who went to the same high school as George, Sam made a funny point. He said, George, 100 people think they're George's best friend. He's charismatic. He's a great listener. He's a guy who's a consensus builder and the way he works a room. So Sage Rosenfels told me he has zero ego. He was like, basically, there's some secretaries in the NFL that have bigger egos than George Payton. That he's a guy who's a grinder. He's a worker. And I bring it up regarding that scenario is that he's not looking to come in and just scorch the earth and we're changing everything. And that's not who they hired. They hired a guy who rolls up his sleeves, works, and then looks up and sees the result. But the difference with him, I think we'll see the changes. They're going to be way better analytically because he oversaw the analytics department in Minnesota.
Yes.
I bet you'll see them add to that, and they'll add to it on game day. Because he said they need to be progressive and innovative, and that's his background. So there'll be changes there, and they will be aggressive in the draft, Zach. It's just how aggressive. I think that's – we don't know yet until he looks at this roster. I mean, if you like a defensive playmaker, you can probably stay at 9 and get Patrick Surtain or get the linebacker from Penn State or Caleb Farley, the cornerback from Virginia Tech. But he might look at it and go, you know what? We need to move up to the top 5. That way there's a better player there, and it puts us in the running to go get Deshaun Watson. Like, they were very aggressive in Minnesota. But remember, they were aggressive because they had really good young players in place.
That's right.
So you're not trying to fill 8 positions on draft day. You know what I mean? That's why when you draft well, those picks, then the picks the next year become basically assets and commodities to trade. And that's what good teams do. And so I do think you're going to see him be more aggressive in the draft than in years past here in Denver. But he is a guy who's not going to come here and do just scorched earth. That's not George Payton. That's not the guy that I've learned about from some of his closest friends the last 25, 30 years.
Troy, last one for me here. Looking at Von Miller and what's going on here the last couple weeks, you know, being investigated. We got that news on Friday. The text messages. Do you think that plays a big role in how his future is going to turn out with the Denver Broncos?
I mean, it doesn't help. I mean, but I think ultimately the decision on Von Miller is going to come down to his age and what salary would he play at. Because at 32, coming off a lost season, is he going to come back as a situational pass rusher? Is he going to come back as a guy who's playing 75% of the snaps? And what does that money look like? Is that 12, 13 to get back to 16? Because it's not going to be 18. That's not going to happen. It just doesn't make sense. So, you know, the off-field stuff, always, you never say it doesn't matter. It always matters. But in this case, the decision on Vaughn for me, and I think when George Payton looks at it, it's just going to be, is it worth bringing him back and running it back to have he and Chubb together at $14 million? Or are we better off moving on, taking a $4 million cap hit and using that money elsewhere? I mean, that's the decision he's going to have to make. And it's not an easy decision. I've always said I'd love to see Vaughn finish his career here. But that was a lot easier when John Elway was the GM and there was loyalty to him. Now it's different. I mean, let's not be naive to that. Could he still come back? Yes, but circumstances have changed, and you have to be at least cognizant of that.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and we are fully aware of all those factors at play. And last one for me, Troy, as it pertains to the Justin Simmons conversation, you know, you and I and Stoke have talked about this Simmons, you know, pending decision here for a handful of weeks, really since the season ended. I just asked you about George Payton's first year and what mode do you think it could be in. If you're George, not if you're you, all right, because I know you've said unequivocally, look, the Broncos, you can't afford to lose, you know, your best players. And, you know, Justin Simmons is one of them. And this is KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver. If you're George Payton, when it comes to the Simmons conversation, do you think there is going to be one mode or another with it?
I will just say, when you look at the Vikings, where he's been at most recently, they had 13 Pro Bowlers drafted over the last 10 years, tied for the most. And they were among the league most in terms of guys getting second contracts, rewarding these top draft picks that they've landed. So based on that, I would say he would probably hedge to wanting to keep Simmons, because that's how you build. Simmons would be the guy you drafted and would get the second contract based on performance. And not, I mean, take everything else out of it. He has been their best player over the past 2 years. You would argue that Bowles was probably their best player this year. Simmons over the past 2 years has been their best player. And I don't know how you could go and franchise tag him when the cap's going down. You would be asking Justin Simmons to take a pay cut. I don't know how you could do that. It would good faith ask him to take a pay cut on this team. So based on his history, to answer your question, Zach, of Minnesota being among the top teams in football of getting guys on their draft picks on second contracts, I think at the very least he's going to have a really open mind to securing Simmons long term.
All right, we'll leave it there. Great stuff as always, Troy. Our Denver 7 Insider presented by ROX Heating and Air. That's ROX, ROX Heating and Air. Appreciate you stopping by. We'll do it again later in the week.
You got it. See ya.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.